Pastor Varun and Pastor Don LaHopperset would like to welcome you to the following message from New Hope International Church, Seattle, Washington. Here is Pastor Lau's dynamic teaching that will change your life with love, hope, and peace in Jesus Christ.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for this opportunity to learn your word, to be trained, to serve you, Father. We count as a privilege, Lord, to be able to serve the kingdom of God, to be your servant, to be your soldier, to expand the kingdom in this generation. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you handpicked us to do the work in this city, in many parts in the world. Father, we are not perfect, and we depend on your grace in everything we do. And tonight, Lord, we depend on the grace of God. We depend on the help of the Holy Spirit. May your Spirit come and speak through us, Lord. Speak to every one of us in this room. Lord, may the word that come out from my mouth come from heaven. And you will even speak to their spirit more than what I say from the microphone here. You speak to them deeper and greater than what I can say, Father. Lord, we depend on you, and today we ask you, Lord, to teach us by your Holy Spirit in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. We have been learning about mentoring. Last time we learned about who are mentorees and the characteristic of mentorees who will grow in the Lord. Actually, I'm very excited to teach about this issue because I think it's one of the main core practice in Christianity. Jesus said, go and make disciples of all nations. Jesus did not say, go and build a beautiful building, beautiful church building, nice carpet, or go and build an organization. He said that go and build and make disciples, build people up. So it's one of the most important jobs that we can do in our Christian walk. Jesus even said, if you love me, you take care of my sheep. Therefore, one of the signs of loving God, one of the manifestations in our life to show that we love God is to take care of God's people and to really disciple God's people to help them to grow, to care about for them, to help them to grow in the Lord. Amen. One of the things that I believe that bless the heart of God so much is to see his people growing, loving him, and serving him and attending to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. In fact, even as a human being like me, who is not God, every time I see the members of the church love God and grow and become stronger in their spirit, it really blesses my heart. It really, really encourages me to see people really show the progress in their spiritual walk. How much more God will feel so encouraged and so happy to see that happen in the church. So I want to encourage all of you to be used by God to help other people to grow. Even though God works by his spirit, but he still uses equipment or instrument like us to serve and to do many things on earth here. God still co-labor with us. We are his partner. God doesn't do the job alone, but he graciously used us in this generation. In fact, lately God really show me that he speak this word to me a lot, the word this generation. Our generation really depends on how much we do here. And if we are faithful in doing the thing that God called us to do, we will impact this generation. And we are living on this earth in a very relatively short period of time. Is that right? One of these days, we will leave this world and be somewhere else in the paradise. We will not be here forever. But before we die, before we leave this world to be with God in heaven, to be before the throne of Jesus Christ, we want to do everything the best for him. We need to be faithful to the end, love him, and serve him to the end. So today, we will continue to learn how to serve God in the area of mentoring, in the area of building other people up. I pray that all of you will be disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you all will make disciple in other people's life as well, or mentor other people, that you will not just learn and keep with yourself, but you go out and help younger believers to grow. Today we're going to learn about mentoring dynamics. What are the factors? What are the dynamic factors that make mentoring work or effective? We need to understand all these factors so that our work will not go in vain, so that our work will have the full effectiveness in the ministry. There are five factors or five things in the mentoring dynamics that we need to understand. The first thing is, I'm going to tell you all five things now and go one by one. Number one, attraction. Number two, relationship. Number three, responsiveness. Number four, accountability. And number five, empowerment. Let's look at attraction. Without attraction, the empowerment process will not happen effectively. What does it mean, attraction? Attraction is very crucial in the initiation process of mentoring. Attraction means that there is a tendency for a mentor to move toward or to get close to or to be around a mentor, like to be around that person, like to spend time or fellowship with that person. And the attraction dynamic also make the mentoring process go on and on and on, sustaining the process for a long time. Without attraction, there is a tendency to fail in mentoring process. The mentor and the mentoree have the attraction toward each other spiritually. They like to hang out together. They like to spend time together, talk, fellowship together. Maybe the mentoree has seen something in the life of the mentor, seen some spiritual qualities, the character, the giftings, the abilities, or the faithfulness. The mentoree sees something in that man or that woman and want to learn and feel inside that, I can gain something from this relationship. I can learn something from this person. That is attraction. You are attracted to be with somebody because you know that this relationship will be a building up relationship, exhortation, learning process instead of tearing down. People don't like to spend time with somebody who will tear us down. Is that right? No one wants to be around somebody who will tear their life down. They want to be with somebody who will build them up. Pastor Da mentioned to one member many days ago that if you want to have more friends, if you want people to hang around with you, why don't you just make a choice to live your life to build other people up, to put into bank account that the relationship will have more on the black side, not the red side of the account. Relationship more in a positive way, because you are, when you go anywhere, you build people up. People are around you. They feel encouraged. They feel that they are built up by your life. Attraction is something that young mentors have to work on. If you are new in the church, or you just start to mentor people, you are young leaders, in other words, young shepherds or young leaders in the church, this dynamic may be quite difficult for you to gain because you're so new. People don't know your life. People may not want to be around you like the older leaders, those who have proven their life for many years, so they have more attraction power to draw people in to be with them. For the young leaders, it's more difficult to have that dynamic. But you don't need to lose heart, because you can build it up as time goes by. If you don't start to do something, nothing gonna happen anyway. Rather just start to do it and go out and help people, disciple people, mentor people. And eventually, the attraction dynamics in your life will grow to the point that people want to be around you. So I want to encourage all of you that one of the things you need to do when you want to mentor people, you need to build that kind of power in you, the dynamic, the dynamics of attraction that people look at you and they like to be around you. Amen. There are so many things that we can do and we need to improve in our life to be a good leader, to be a good mentor, to build that attraction dynamic. The first thing that we need to do is to be a good model. A good model. Actually, if we read the Bible, we can see that Apostle Paul wrote a letter to Timothy, a young leader, a young pastor in that church. And he tried to tell Timothy to set a good example, to be a model for the church. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12, let me read for you. 1 Timothy 4, 12, let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. I like what Paul say. He covered everything, all the bases. In word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. And then verse 16 say, take heed to yourself. In other words, watching your life and to the doctrine that you are preaching and teaching, continue in them. For in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 1 to 6. Paul say the same thing here. We then, as workers together with him, also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. You all receive the grace of God to serve him. For he say, in an acceptable time, I have heard you, and in the day of salvation, I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. We give no offense to anything that our ministry may be blamed. But in all things, we commend ourselves as minister of God. You need to look at yourself as the representative or ambassador of God. You represent God. When people see your life, they need to see God in you and through you. We are minister of God in as much patience, in tribulations, in needs, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in labors, in sleepiness, and in fastings. By what? Purity, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Spirit, and by sincere love. Paul tried to say that he served God, he showed example in every aspect of life. My brother and sister, I believe that if a Christian decided to become a mentor or become a shepherd or a spiritual helper in the church, he will grow faster than Christians who sit around in the church and don't want to take care of anyone. Believe me, if you make a decision to be a discipler or be a mentor for somebody else, you're going to grow fast because you need to shape your life up. You need to change your lifestyle. You need to watch what you say. You need to watch how you behave. Your conduct, your behaviors. People watch you. People will not let you disciple them or mentor them if you don't have the good lifestyle, if you behave in the wrong way, because they will not be attracted to you. Therefore, it starts with you, not start with the disciple or with the mentorees. You need to start to shape yourself up first so that people will be attracted to you. Amen. We need to live a life of integrity. We mean what we say. We do what we promise. We live a life of faithfulness. People can see that we are faithful. We set good example. For example, if you want to be a mentor, and you come to church late, the mentor will not want to be your student or follow you because you don't set good example. To be a mentor really forces you to go above reproach. You need to do better than before. Amen. Not just that you want a position to be over somebody, because you love Jesus so much. The motivation on the inside of you to look after people is that you love Jesus and you want to please him. You know that because Jesus loved his sheep, you're willing to take care of his sheep for him. And because you know that in order to take care of his sheep and disciple people or mentor people, you need to have that attraction dynamics. Therefore, you need to change your lifestyle. The way you talk, the way you behave, the way you spend money, the way you handle situations. You need to be more patient. Live in purity. Because if you live in sin, people are not going to listen to you. Is that right? So, if you grow up to be a mentor, you will advance in the kingdom faster than people who sit around do nothing in the church. My dream is to see that every member in the church will become a mentor one day. You receive so much from God. Why don't you share what you learn with other people? Why don't you use whatever God gives to you to build other people up? Help younger believers to grow up in the Lord. But you need to build that attraction dynamics. Amen. I decided to wash my hair every single day, put a little bit of gel, comb my hair, make sure that my clothes is not dirty, make sure that I wash my teeth. I just used dental floss before I came here. I wash my teeth, use the dental floss. I try to make sure that I'm not causing people to run away from me because something in my life that caused to chase people away. I want to make sure that I control my emotion, that I will not be mad easily, throwing things, get mad at people, upset and yell at people, using some bad languages, using some terminology that will turn people away. I need to watch my life carefully because I want to draw people to me so I can be used by God to help them to grow. Therefore, it really forces me to grow myself. It forces me to change my life. I want to have that attraction dynamics in my life. Amen. I give you example. I think I might have shared this one time. I went to Bangkok last time, and by the end of the service, around almost 11:30, after I lay hand on 1,200 people, I was so exhausted. And a Christian man walked to me and tried to talk to me, but I was so exhausted that I cannot talk to him. I was sitting there on the couch and just say hi, and I couldn't talk even one word. I just sat there and looked at his face. The next morning, I called that man and I say, "I'm sorry, Mr. So-and-so. Last night, I was so tired, I was not able to speak to you. Could you please forgive me? I didn't mean to reject you, anything like that. Actually, you are very important in the kingdom of God, and I know that God has the best plan for your life. I just want him to see Christ-likeness in my life, to be sensitive to people's feelings, to be sensitive to how people will feel when they come to the minister or come to the preacher." You see, everything that we do, we need to think about how we can draw people to Christ through our life. Amen? Everyone say attraction. How many people want to grow in attraction dynamics? So watch your life. Take heed of yourself in everything you do. Amen? Every aspect, how you treat your wife, how you spend money, how you talk, how you walk around, how you treat people. This is a human nature. Sometimes we treat people that we know that person, for example, you look at John and you want John to be your disciple or to be your mentor. So you try to impress John. You do everything to impress John. But when you turn around, because you don't care about the rest of people, for the kids, maybe the kids walk by you and you just bump on the kids. And the kids fall down and you just don't care. You walk by and don't even say sorry or pick the kids up. Why? Because that kid don't give any benefit to you. Don't do anything to you. You don't need that kid to be your disciple or your mentor. What happened? John watch you and see that, oh, that person is doing this way. In other words, you are not real. You just pretend to be good with him, but behind the scene or with other people, you don't do the same thing. In fact, that's why the Bible says we need to treat everyone just like you treat Christ. Amen. Today, I walked into the hospital and saw a man who was not well-to-do financially. He had long hair, everything. I mean, he just looked outside, looked like a person that you don't want to associate with. But I still need to treat him like I treat Christ. I was very polite to him, talked to him with a very good manner. Because one of these days, who knows, he may click on the internet and find out that I'm a pastor of a church. Even though he's not my member. But he will find out, you know, nowadays people can find out about your life very easily. You click on Google and type Varun Lahaprasit. Then know right away I'm a pastor of New Hope International Church. In fact, what happened is that even his daughter, before I went up to the room, I walked into the elevator. The daughter, 4 years old, ran into the elevator before somebody else. And when the mom walked in, I just smiled and say, "Wow, you are so brave." I was very nice to the kid. Because you walk in with the stranger. And I can shut off the door. And I was so polite to both the mom and they are not well-to-do people by looking at outside. But I was so nice to them. And that is the family of that man. But I was nice to them anyway because that's how I should treat people around me. Amen. Treat everyone the same. Be example to people the same way every single day, Monday to Sunday, since you wake up to the time you go to bed. You treat everybody the way Christ treats people or the way you treat Christ. Amen. Don't be one face with one person, but you turn another person, you have another face or another mask. Be consistent in how you conduct yourself in a Christian manner to people. Then you're going to have attraction, power, or dynamics to draw people toward you. Amen? Hallelujah. So that's number one, is the attraction dynamic. Number two, relationship. Relationship is very necessary for the sustaining, empowering relationship or mentoring relationship. Relationship will help interactive trust between the mentoring and the mentor. It will help to grow the trust. If you have good relationship, you will earn the right to speak into the life of people. Is that right? Attraction and relationship are so important in bringing the response, accountability of the relationship. If the attraction is strong, if relationship is good, the mentoring process will be very successful, will be very powerful. But if the relationship is weak, the mentor will not listen to you. And you yourself will not listen to your mentor either if the relationship is broken. That's why we need to learn how to build relationship with people. Amen. The church, the Father's business, the business of the Father is about people. Amen. It's about building up people. It's not about money. It's not about project. Or it's not just about finances. But it's about building people up. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 2. Look at how Paul and Timothy had a good relationship. To Timothy, a beloved son. Paul called Timothy a beloved son. Titus chapter 1 verse 4. To Titus, a true son in our common faith. You can see here that Paul had a very good relationship as a son and a father with his mentor. Therefore, do everything to build good relationship. In fact, I came from a very broken home. I am very weak in this area. By nature, I'm not very sensitive to people's feelings. And I thank God. God knows my need. He put me to marry with a woman who is very sensitive to the issue of relationship. Pastor Da taught me a lot about relationship. She know how people think. She helped me to be sensitive to people. We learn from each other. I may be strong in certain area, but I am weak in certain area. Therefore, in the church, when you see somebody who is very good in relationship, you need to learn from that person and keep changing, keep learning. In our Christian life, we are in the posture of learning all the time. Amen. If you stop learning, you will never grow. And one thing that you can learn is that you learn how to build relationship with people. Yesterday, Pastor Tyson said one thing in our dinner. He said that you cannot just go out into any company or any department of business or university and just hire somebody into be a leadership of a local church. To be a leadership of a local church needs like on-hand training, how to build dynamics of attraction, how to build a dynamic of relationship with people. It takes some training. It takes some shaping up and pressing and some change by God, pressing like a, God would need to press you. God need to deal with you so that you can be a new person that can build relationship with other people. Amen. So that is important. Build relationship. Be sensitive to people's need. If your mentoree has a birthday, don't forget about the birthday. Be sensitive. Maybe your mentoree is discouraged. Don't forget to call. Show love. Take your mentoree out for lunch. Whatever you can do to show love and to build a loving relationship between you and the mentoree. Amen. That's what Jesus did. Jesus went around praying for people, healing people. He meets the need of people. He built good relationship with people. So that is number two. Number one, attraction. Number two, relationship. Number three, responsiveness. This is the part that the mentoree has to do. The first two is for the mentor. The mentor has to build good relationship and build attraction dynamics. But the mentoree need to have this character that is to have the attitude of voluntary submission to the mentor. If you cannot submit to a man or a woman that disciple you or mentor you, you will never grow. You need to learn how to submit. Learn how to listen. Receive the assignment with respect, with appreciation, with the thankfulness, submission spirit. You receive the assignment, you receive the teaching, you receive the impartation with respect. And that is the attitude that we need to have in order to grow. Amen. Respond to the teaching. Respond to the assignment. So you can see that mentoring relationship is kind of mutual thing. Both sides have to do their homework. The mentor have to do the homework to improve their life, to know the Bible, to improve their anointing, to change their lifestyle, to watch their life carefully, to build relationship. But the mentoree have to do their homework too, is to respond or submit to the teaching, to the assignment that the mentor will give to the mentoree. Amen. Obedience is very important. Listening to the recommendation or to the teaching or to the command of the mentor. Responsiveness. Number four, accountability. Without the accountability, mentoring process will not be effective. What does it mean, accountability? You cannot just like each other, spend time with each other, have good relationship, go out and eat dinner every night. And I like you, you like me. It's not enough. You need to have accountability. What does it mean? It means that the responsibility of oversight that a mentor must have in order to ensure that the mentoree will follow through the command or the assignment that the mentor was giving to the mentoree. You have accountability. I give you this assignment. For example, you go and memorize these five scriptures. And you need to come and report to me and say all these five scriptures to me next week. That is accountability. I'm going to see that you do your homework or not. you will get the job done or not. If you don't get the job done, I have the right to correct you. Without that accountability, people will never grow. In fact, God is squeezing me more and more, try to pressure me to be more tough, to do more correction, and get people on the face, Amen. And talk to them eyes to eyes, and correct them. I'm weak in this area, but God said, if you don't do this, if you don't practice accountability, people will never grow. Amen? Pull out the whip. And correct people. Hallelujah. That's my weakness, but I'm trying to change. We need to have accountability and correction in the empowerment relationship. Last one, empowerment. What does it mean? Attraction, come together. Relationship is good. You respond to each other. Accountability, have correction, assignment, follow through the assignment. Not only that, in this relationship, the mentor will put the mentoree to go through the process that the mentoree will have to change. Empowerment means to make change, to cause changes. In order to attain godly character, godly attitudes, and to be more capable in the ministry, you cannot just hang out for months and months without change. People need to change, improve the lifestyle, the attitude. Therefore, empowerment is both the process and also the result of mentoring relationship. And you can see that in the life of Barnabas and Paul. You remember when Paul came into contact with Barnabas at the beginning, the Bible called Barnabas, Paul. But after a few chapters in the book of Acts, it changed to be Paul and Barnabas. Barnabas fulfilled the job. He made Paul better than him. He helped Paul to change to the point that Paul became better pastor or apostle than him. The same thing, your job is to help the next generation to be better than you, to be more godly, to be more capable than you. If the next generation is worse than you, the world is going to be in trouble. In fact, when I was at the University of Washington, my professor, the chairman of the Department of Neurological Surgery, told all of us who are the resident that I expect all of you to be better than me. Otherwise, this society is going to go downhill. The next generation have to be better than the current generation. So you disciple people to be better than you, to change. Change in what? Character, attitudes, in their performance, in their skill in serving the Lord. Help them to grow. I pray that every believer in our church would set that goal that I come to the kingdom of God. I become a disciple of Jesus Christ. I'm going to set the goal to grow, set the goal to know more of God. I'm going to know God more. I'm going to change. I'm going to become more capable to serve the Lord. I'm not going to stay stagnant. I'm going to move on. I'm going to keep moving and moving to the next level. I believe that if people in the kingdom of God can think this way and make a determination that way, the kingdom of God will expand so rapidly. Amen. We need to set that determination. We are not just the consumer. We are not a bless me club. We are the army. We are the soldier of God. We need to keep improving, keep learning and growing in the way of the Lord. Amen. So remember this, if you are a mentor, it's your job to help the next generation to grow and become better than you. Amen. That's my desire. When I heard that our leaders are doing a good job, I'm so blessed. I'm so blessed to hear that. I want to see that if one day God takes me away for some reason from this city, the church will continue to prosper and the church will continue to grow. I would be happy if I hear that some of our students graduate and move to another city and they go out and start a local church, a revival church somewhere, and the church keep growing, and they become powerful preacher. They lay hands on people, and people get healed, people get touched by God, and many people come into the kingdom, and the church even grow bigger than our church here. I would be so happy. I would not feel insecure at all, because I want to see that the next generation is better than us here. Amen. That's our desire. We want to see people grow. Now I want to talk about mentoring types. So we learn about five dynamics: attraction, relationship, responsiveness, accountability, and empowerment. How many people say, I'm going to practice all of this thing? I will start to improve and grow in this area. Okay. Now we need to look at mentoring types. The reason we categorize mentoring process into many types, because number one, in our life, we need different ways of mentoring to help us grow. Number two, because we all are in different stages of growth, different stages of spiritual journey. At certain point, we may need someone who mentor us in a certain way. But another time in your life, you may need another kind. Not only that, the third reason, we categorize the mentoring process into many kinds, because all of us who want to be mentor, we are so limited in space, in time, in ability, and giftings. Is that right? We are very limited. We cannot be jack of all trade. We have limited in gifting. Some of you may not be a teacher. Therefore, you may not fall into a category of teacher. You may be able to do the mentoring one type in the process here, but you cannot be a teacher because you are not a teacher. You may not be a preacher, but you can still mentor people according to different types. Not only that, the mentoring come into your life at different stages. Therefore, when you learn the types of mentoring, you will not have this kind of attitude. I own you. Only you and me. You cannot run to other people. You cannot seek help from other people. I am your answer. I am your God. You cannot, because you are not the answer to everybody. And you cannot be the answer of every aspect of life to everybody. Each Christian may need a lot of people to help that person. Not only one man. Not only one person. That Christian may need this type of mentoring at this stage. Or maybe need many types in one time from different people. You understand what I mean? So in this way, you understand that you are not the answer to every single issue for anybody in this life. You may be used by God as a stepping stone for them to go to the next level. Or you may be helping somebody a certain period of life for a certain issue. Now we're going to look at many types of mentoring. The first type we call discipler. Discipler, we're going to look into detail later on, each one. The discipler, the spiritual guide, or these types that we talk about. Now I'm going to go through very quickly what each type is doing in the mentoring process. Number one, discipler. Who is discipler? This is a terminology we use in our church. You can use other terminology, it's up to you, but in our church, so we can say the same way. A discipler is a person who enables a young believer, a young convert. When I say young, I don't mean only chronological age. Some people may be a Christian for 10 years, but still very baby. They don't know anything because they never learn anything. They just believe God, but never go to church for 10 years and suddenly show up in the church. I'm not talking in chronological. I'm talking about the lifestyle, the spiritual life inside here. A discipler is the person who enable a young believer in basics of following Christ. Teaching basic thing to start the foundation, to make sure that that mentoring will establish the foundation of walking with Christ in a period of time. And we're going to learn in detail later on. Number two, spiritual guide. The second type. After the process of laying down foundation, next, the spiritual guide. After a person have laid down foundation, have a foundation established in his life, go to church every Sunday, go to care group, reading the Bible, pray, serving God. Now, a spiritual guide is a mentor who will come with accountability and responsibility to lead a Christian or a disciple into the further spirituality, into the spiritual disciplines, into maturity. So this is not new believer anymore. This is someone who already has gone through basic, but still need to grow more. So somebody has to help that person to grow more. I remember when I started the church in 1988, I did a lot of discipler job because all the members in the church are new believers at that time. We started the church with new believers. God made it that way that I didn't start the church with all the old believers, with 50 people join my church and launch, and with 50 elders and everyone know how to serve God. I started with nothing, with only a few people in the church who knew nothing, and I knew not much either. I just served God. I didn't know much. But at that time, because we have so many new believers, I have to be a discipler. But as years go by, my job has changed. I'm not a discipler anymore. I'm not taking care of new believers anymore. If I'm still doing that, the church is going to be in trouble. It means that the rest of the congregation do nothing. Still, the pastor have to go down to take care of new believers. Now it's your job to be a discipler. Now my job is spiritual guide. I need to guide you who are older believers to grow into maturity. And some of you may have to do that job. For example, you may be a care group leader. You may be a worship leader. And you try to help people in your team or in your care group to grow more. They all already have foundation laid in their life, but they need to grow more. So this kind of spiritual guide will help the older believer to grow even to the next level. Amen. Number three, coach. C-O-A-C-H. Coach is emphasizing only skill, not the whole totality of spiritual life. For example, you may be a worship leader, but you are not a spiritual guide of a worship team member who want to grow up one day to become a worship leader. But you can coach that person to lead worship. You may not sit down, teach the Bible and correct and do all this accountability, but you motivate that person to become a worship leader and teach the skill of how to be a worship leader. Amen. When I started the church, I need to teach Yong and Santi to lead worship at that time. Even though I'm not a good singer, but I need to coach them how to lead worship. And now they coach other people to lead worship. I stopped doing that now. Now, Pastor Kenny can help coach other people to lead worship. The same thing in the care group. Maybe you come in new believers after 6 months, a year. The worship leader in your care group will coach you how to lead worship, how to sing song, how to lead worship. Coach emphasizes in the area of the skill and the motivation to practice that skill. Everyone says skill. These three types of mentoring we call active mentoring. In the active mentoring, usually it happens one-on-one. Usually it takes a lot of time, investment, and commitment. Discipler, spiritual guide, and coach requires a lot of time, commitment, and one-on-one relationship to be able to build that person up to the next level. It's called active mentoring. Now we're going to come to occasional mentoring. Mentoring occasionally. Number one, counselor. Counselor means a mentor who occasionally or timely give advice and give correct perspectives about self, about others, and about ministry. give biblical advice to people. You may not see that person on a regular basis, but if you are a counselor, for example, John and Mary want to get married, and John has a disciple name or a mentor name, Bill, and Mary has a mentor name, Janet. But when it comes to the point that they want to get married, this couple may have to go to another leader in the church who is expert in marriage. And that couple, even though they are not mentor, but they specifically for a period of time, maybe 3 months, 2 months, give counseling regarding marriage, pre-marriage counseling. So counselors are just timely, just a specific time for a specific purpose, and it's done and then move on, counseling. So that's why we call occasional mentoring. All of you may function in different types at different times. One person may work with another person. For example, you may work with John as a spiritual guide. But you may work with Jim as a counselor. So one person can function in many types according to the needs and the situation of each mentoree. You cannot be everything. You cannot be jack of all trades. And some people cannot give counseling either. So they cannot be counselor. Amen. There are two kinds of counselor, the professional counselor and the lay counselor in the church. Occasional mentor, counselor. Another kind of occasional mentor we call teacher. Teacher mainly impart the knowledge. Right now, I'm doing a mentoring job as a teacher. I just teach you the knowledge. That's why it's occasional. Some of you may have to mentor people in the teaching process. Just teach in a care group. Maybe teach in a big group. But you don't have a lot of relationship and interaction with students because you are not their direct mentors. You just mainly impart the knowledge to a group of people. I mentor a lot of people right now in one style we call temporary model. I can explain to you in a minute here. If you are a teacher, you can teach people as a big group or a group of people come to your home and you teach them the Bible. So that's another kind of occasional mentoring process. Teachers, now sponsors. What are the sponsors? Actually, sponsors are more like in the full-time ministry situation. If we apply to all of us who are not full-time ministers, it means like this. You are rising up to be a leader. For example, you are a care group leader. And then you want to move into a unit leader. Sponsor means somebody who come in, maybe a pastor, maybe a unit leader who are higher than you, come and help you for a period of time to promote you up to the next level. It's about promotion or about moving up from one level of leadership to another level of leadership. Somebody will give you a guidance and protection and some accountability, protect you and tell you what to do, and then guide you to the next level. That is sponsor. This is talk about leadership now. Sponsor means leadership. Somebody sponsors somebody to go to the next level. All three, counselor, teacher, sponsors, are occasional mentors. Now, the last one we call passive mentoring. Very loose. The first one, active, very intensive. Occasional mentoring in the middle. But the last one we call passive mentoring. Very loose mentoring. There are that kind of mentoring too. You wonder, what is that? There are three kinds of passive mentoring. Number one, we call contemporary model. What does it mean, contemporary model? A person in the same generation set a good example to you and me. Example in life, a model in life, a model in ministry. Set a good example. I give you example. One time in Bangkok, after I lay hand on people, a young man came to me from another church. I did not know him personally. I did not know his name. I didn't even know what church he goes to. He come to see me. He come and kind of salute to me. In America, it's shake hand. In Thailand, we salute like this. He say, Pastor Varun, one day, I want to be like you. I never sit down, teach him the Bible. I never really grab his hand, how to preach. But he watched me in the congregation. And every meeting in Bangkok, this man would show up and watch me like an eagle. How this man minister. That is we call contemporary model. And I have a lot of contemporary models in my life. I don't know the man. I don't know that person. But I watch and I learn. I learn from the life model. How that person preach. How that person respond to the situation. I read the story about that person. I read that person's book. I want to know how that person live a Christian life by reading his book. Contemporary model. I believe that I am a contemporary model to a lot of people right now because many people are listening to my CD. I just got email from Bangkok that a couple pastor led a man who is dying from cancer to Christ. Then the man told the whole family, you must go to church. I mean, this man just accepted Christ only one day and then died. And he said, the whole family, you must go to church. And the whole family went to church after the father died and the whole family accept Christ. And you know what happened? The whole family listened to our CD here in the car. One of the members of this family said, every time I went into my car, I would listen to Pastor Varun's CD. They call me Pastor Varun over there. Pastor Lau's CD. And the pastor listened to the CD too. So everybody listened to the CD. I am their contemporary model. They watch my life. They see. They learn. They listen to my testimony in the CD. That is contemporary model. Would it be nice that we are the contemporary model of this generation? How many people want to be that way? People look at your life and say, I want to learn from this man. I want to learn from this woman. It's a privilege. Therefore, set good example. Build up the sphere of influence. We all have different level of influences. My dear brother and sister, one thing that I pray to God, you know, when I look at Kenneth Hagin, wow, this man has so many churches all over the world. When I went to his camp meeting one year, 8,000 people sit in the meeting. I say, God, every time I pray, I will pray like this. God, increase my sphere of influence like Pastor Kenneth Hagin. Like certain pastors, they have so much influence on people as a contemporary model. They don't sit down with those people personally. They don't disciple those people personally. But as their life shine forward, the lifestyle shine forward. People look at, I want to be like this man. The faith of this, I want to have the faith like this. This man has so much faith. I remember one time, I went to a meeting in Austin, Texas. Oh, not only Austin, actually in Tampa, Florida. I just got into revival. And Pastor Rodney was walking. And then a pastor get up from the chair. And then Pastor Rodney just say, touch. Like this, he's just point finger, touch, the man fall under the power. And this is about 20 feet away. And I was watching and say, wow, this man has a lot of anointing. And the Lord spoke to me right away. You know, son, the level of your faith and the level of his faith is very different. Your faith is still small. His faith is big. That's why he can do that. And I say, God, this man challenged me. I want to have a lot of faith like him. Do I spend time with Pastor Rodney a lot? No. I ate dinner and lunch with him a few times. We never call each other. We are not close. But he is my contemporary model in the area of the anointing and revival. When I look at Pastor Joe Osteen's mom, she is my contemporary model. She's just a tough woman. Went through cancer and served God. And even now, she's 70-something. She's still up on the pulpit and encouraged people. She was a godly woman. She is still a godly, not was. She has been a godly woman. And I look at her. Oh, I want my family like this. I want my daughters serve God like this. I pray she is my contemporary model. You have big sphere of influence that people look at your life and say, I want to be like that. You may not have everything, but somebody can learn something from you. Is that right? For Pastor Rodney, I learned about moving in the fire of God. For some people, I learned about how to preach very well. Some people, I learned how to teach very well. Some people, I learned how to disciple, how to pastor. I learned how to pastor people from Pastor Richard Holland in Australia. Oh, this man is a pastor. He is a pastor, I know. When I got close to him, he really a pastor. So I learned, I watched his life, and I learned from him. He still called me off and on, can you imagine? He is 87 now, maybe. He still called me from Australia. How are you, Dr. Varun? Are you okay? I miss you. I pray for you. Hang up. And I got the message. He still tried to pastor me. And I thank God for his life. You see, contemporary model. You learn different things. We try to draw every good thing from everybody in the body of Christ. I learned about faith from Pastor Kenneth Hagin. This man is a man of faith. Oh, I enjoy listening to his preaching. Powerful about faith, about healing. You see, we learn from different kind of people in the body. Not only that, not only contemporary mean the model in the same generation, we have historical model. Historical model are those who already passed away. They are in the books. History in the books. You read about their life in the historical book. Every time I read the story or the writing of Smith Wigglesworth, oh, I tell you, I feel like this man is a man of faith. I learned historically from him that how this man raised the dead up, how this man bring miracles, signs and wonders, and it challenged you to become like him. Historical model. That is another way of passive mentoring. And the last one of passive mentoring called divine context. What does it mean, divine context? You are walking in your life. You try to serve God. You learn. You have some people minister to you. You have somebody mentor you on a regular basis. You have a pastor who is your spiritual guide and counselor or teacher. And suddenly one day you face a situation that no one else can be qualified to help you. But by the divine guidance, God brought a person to you. Maybe from another church. Maybe from another denomination. Maybe from another organization. And then you have a chance to talk and pray together and ask questions and the problem resolved. Divine contact. Happened at a certain time by the guidance of God for the certain reason for your own spiritual growth. I have a lot of divine contacts in my life. In fact, one of them is Pastor Cornish. It's my divine contact. God brought him into my life to help me at a certain time of my life. And then another time, God brought, for example, Mike Francine, the evangelist, to be my divine contact. He came in. Another person who is divine contact to me is Pastor Joe Cruz. He came to my life. He's a divine contact to take our church to the next level. But we are not in relationship on a regular basis. So you understand all nine types of mentoring here. Active, occasional, and passive mentoring. Occasional mentoring usually is not very personal. It comes and goes, just teaching you and then gone. Or maybe counseling you, and then there's no personal relationship that much. So all five mentoring dynamics, attraction, relationship, responsiveness, accountability, and empowerment, all five of them are required in active mentoring. Spiritual guide, discipler, and coach. But in the occasional mentoring, you require only attraction and responsiveness because it's just very loose relationship. And the last kind, passive, mainly attraction and responsiveness. The active one that require all five dynamics. Now you see why we need all nine kinds. You understand that why God used all nine types of mentoring relationship. How many people believe that you all need all nine types in your life? We all need all nine types. You cannot depend only one because A man cannot be with you 24 hours a day, and he doesn't know everything. He is not anointed in every gift. So you need a lot of mentoring process around you. Occasional, teacher, you learn from different people, and these people God sent into your life to build you up to be whoever God wants you to be. Hallelujah.
We trust this message has ministered to you. If you would like more information about New Hope International Church or other teaching series, please contact us at 206-275-1042 or visit our website online at www.newhopeinternationalchurch.org. You may also write to us at the following address: New Hope International Church, 9170 Southeast 64th Street, Mercer Island, Washington, 98040. Thank you very much.